I tell you, hearing this, it makes me wish I'd learned shorthand in school. I sure have trouble keeping up with. I sure could have sworn that you said the gift was done away. I thought that's what the debate was about tonight. That's what I claim the perfect, those gifts were perfect then. They're perfect now. That's the reason I thought you said that's done away with. It is the perfect gift. And we've got the perfect law now, and he agrees to that. And they had it then. They didn't have to get it in book form before it came. Did they? To where everything was just written? When Jesus Christ came, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. He's come, I reckon. As far as I know, he's come and done set everything in order. I'm trying to follow as best I can. And he said the duration is of these gifts is the issue. That is not the issue tonight. The issue is, he says, these gifts have ceased. The duration is not the issue. He said they've ceased, and he's failed to prove that. Not one verse has he brought that says the gifts have ceased. Not one. And I made the proposition that if he just read me one, I'd give him the debate tonight. Well, you know, if he had one, he'd read it. I'd leave right now if he just reads it and walk home. Now about a faith, hope, and charity. I about have to ask him what he says, because I think he says one thing and then he lets me know he didn't say that, but that's really, did I understand right that you said the prophets and the tongues, there are no prophets in the church today? No true prophets in the church today. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets, that's in the church, he just said it was the church. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets, that's prophets in the church, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he said tongues, if I understood right, wasn't in the church. Right up the 13th verse of the 13th chapter, when he says, now abide a faith, hope, and charity, and all of them other gifts cease, and now that's all that abides, the way I understood him. But in the very next chapter, in the 5th verse, said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So I think those two few verses proves there's prophets in the church now, there's prophets in the church then. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and so on. I assume there's in the church, and God said he set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets. I claim that they're still here, and I'll continue to preach that, because I've never seen where he undone what he said. And Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Now these verses he read in Romans chapter 8, and he quoted, I believe, 1 Corinthians, now abide a faith, hope, and charity, and he quoted Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and hope. And I agree with that. I believe that faith will end in sight like the Bible teaches. Like he said it, I believe that. And that's one thing I agree with him on tonight. Faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, because it never fails. And I agree to that. That there's something that he said that I did not agree to, among many other things. And I'll try. He read Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12 and 24, talking about me when I said that God set him in there. When did he change? Well, let's see what he said. He read Hebrews 7 and 12, if I'm not mistaken. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. I agree to that. But I'd like to read verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He didn't change and take those gifts out. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 8, 7 and 10, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. He keeps talking about the second coming of Christ. I really haven't deciphered out what he means by that. I claim that these gifts are in the church now. I claim that they're in the church in the apostolic age. That's what I believe. And I believe when Jesus Christ comes the second time, it's the end of the world. And as far as these gifts, I believe God put them in the church forever. That's what I believe. But here he says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, after the days of the law, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. God has a new covenant now. It was a new covenant then when it came into effect, and it's an everlasting covenant. And Psalms 105 and 8, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. His covenant was the word, wasn't it? Well, his word is going to endure forever. And he put these gifts in the church, friends, and I haven't found where they've ever been taken out of the church. And he hasn't proved it at all tonight. I hope he don't think that now abideth faith, hope, and charity, that's all that abides. The same Bible that said now abideth faith, hope, and charity said now there are diversities of gifts. Now. Both of them says now. That's exactly the way the Bible reads it. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Does faith abide? Well, healing, the gift of healing is in the gift that God put in the church. If faith abides, 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to ye faith, virtue. What happened when that woman that had the issue of blood, when Jesus Christ was there and she touched his garment? She said, after she felt within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Well, when she touched the Lord, he said, I felt virtue leave my body. So that would have to be healing, wouldn't it? Of course, he'll say that virtue means something else, but that's the only kind it can mean to me. And if faith abides, God said, add to you faith, virtue. The virtue, knowledge, and the knowledge, temperance, and all of these things, didn't he? So there's something else abiding besides faith, hope, and charity. That's I hope I've understood him right on that. 1 Peter 1:23 said, "But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So there's more that abides than just faith, hope, and charity. He that doeth the will of God, he's going to abide forever too, ain't he? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. All of God's word is going to abide, friends. And gifts is in the word. He can't take it out. And the whole debate hinges on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as far as I know, he hadn't read one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Not one. Kind of goes back to the tactic he said I used last night. That's what this whole debate is hinging on, that the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 have ceased. I'll go over them again for you. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You notice these weren't just to work in the apostolic age. It wasn't just to the apostles. He said that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Is that just the apostolic age? It's given to every man to profit withal. I want you to hear that, friends. These gifts, the Bible said, the thing that he denies is for us. God set them in the church, and he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. If any man denies these gifts are for us, then he denies being a man, because it said it's given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame thing, dividing to every man according as he will. Does that say that was just to the apostles? He said it was given to every man, dividing to every man, severally, as he will. Now I want to read Mark chapter 16, and verse 15 and 16, reading down. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now he'll take that. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I'll give him that. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You notice Jesus Christ was talking to the apostles. He did not say these signs shall follow you, but these signs shall follow them that believe on what the apostles taught. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and etc. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, friends, if you're not careful, you'll have some to make you think that none of these things is for you. But it's all for you if you can meet the condition. Everything that God has got is for you. Yeah, I'll read this in 1 Peter or 2 Peter it is. And I thank the Lord for you people that's thought enough to come out and listen to these few nights of discussion. 1 Peter, first verse of 2 Peter, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gave them to us, friend. through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So I again affirm that these gifts, when God gave them, they were perfect. And I'll read James 1:17 again. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Christ does, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So these gifts are in the church today. I want to read James chapter 2 and verse 26. What put these gifts in there? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Well, God put these things in the church. What if you could literally take everything that's inside of a man out? You wouldn't have nothing, would you? And that's the way men do that try to take these things out of the church. All they leave is an old dry hull, nothing there. God put these things in the church, brothers and sisters. But to hear these, and friends, but to hear this gentleman tonight, he's taking them out of the church, saying that they cease when the perfect come. But the Bible don't say that. That was the perfect. Those gifts was the perfect. I hope I'm making that plain. Because he said every good and every perfect gift is from above. I'll read it all. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now I'll read 1 Corinthians 12:28-31 again. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All of these things God put in the church. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Why does He just pick out some of these things as ended? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. After a person covets the best gifts, which he says is done away, why would God tell us to covet these gifts if they are done away? Why covet something that's done away with, friends? Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. God set these gifts in there. It repented God when He made man. Didn't it? God repented when He was going to destroy Nineveh. When they turned, He repented of the evil that He said He would do unto them, and He did it not. But now, He says in Psalms 110:4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So when did God repent and take these gifts out? When does He ever say these gifts cease? That's my affirmation tonight. I just want the verse that says they've ended. I want the verse that says they've ceased. Not what Pat thinks about it. It don't mean nothing to me. And I'm sure what I think about it don't mean nothing to him. But if this Bible said it, it better mean something to all of it. God set them in there, and there's no power can take them out. He put them there. Now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Well, what was the more excellent way? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, after you've done that, yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Then the 13th chapter, the very next chapter in the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You notice it said tongues of men and of angels. It didn't say tongues of God, did it? There's different types of angels, ain't there? And have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Well, how much time? Less than a minute. 45 seconds, maybe I can get it in. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That was Paul's whole meaning in these few chapters. He wanted the church to do what they done with charity. If you prophesied, let it be with charity. If you spoke with tongues, let it be with charity, because if you've got charity, charity never faileth.